Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
The recent introduction of a Hong Kong national security law by Beijing authorities has placed a fresh international focus on the SAR's unique one country, two systems model and its future outlook. Now, to gauge a collective view on what that law is going to mean for business in Hong Kong, the American Chamber of Commerce there has put together a survey, the results of which came out recently. And joining us on the line right now, Tara Joseph, president of the American Chamber of Commerce in Hong Kong, to talk about those results. Tara, rather, welcome to the show. And
thank you.
What did you notice from this Hong Kong temperature survey? Any surprising findings?
Not necessarily surprising, but there were some clear signs from the survey in terms of the direction that there is concern over the national security law. About 3/4 of those who answered of our members are really concerned or very concerned about the national security law because it means a change in how they will think about doing business and how Hong Kong could be going forward. And the standout reasons why they were concerned were based around ambiguity in the law, in trying to understand it, in definitions of what it means, and also a real sense that this could start to disturb or undo Hong Kong's, you know, very high reputation for having its own rule of law.
Does this seem to be a concern by the government of Carrie Lam that there is this uncertainty? I mean, Hong Kong has always been the trading center of Southeast Asia in terms of free flow of goods and information and companies. With this kind of chill going through the business community, are you getting any indication that the government of Hong Kong is wanting to address this?
The government seems to suggest over and over again that this won't harm business, that this is actually good for business because it will, after all, keep protesters off the street, something that some of our survey members also agreed with. But more than that, they spend most of their time these days dealing with COVID and talking about COVID and other issues around Hong Kong. So it would be good to hear more from the government about how they're going to salvage investment and a thriving international business community. We also have another hit to Hong Kong. I call it the double whammy or the perfect storm, which is the U.S. reaction to the national security law.
Right.
That is concerning the Hong Kong government. It's also concerning businesses here about how they're going to deal with that impact as well. So we're facing a lot of crosswinds, a lot of difficult times here.
Yeah, as you mentioned, this confluence of activities between COVID and the law and then the U.S. response to the law. Did your survey cover any of the U.S. response to the law, or had that not happened yet when you sent out
The survey had not happened yet, so I think it's time for us to put an update together on that. But what we're hearing and what we're talking a lot about at the chamber is the notion of sanctions, which the U.S., from the laws they're passing and from President Trump, say they will put sanctions and announce sanctions on some Chinese officials and potentially Hong Kong officials who have been involved in what they see as the encroachment of democratic rights in Hong Kong. So those sanctions could harm or put a lot of pressure on the financial services industry. People are really trying to get their head around what these sanctions would mean and what banks need to do to deal with them, particularly American financial institutions.
Yeah, of course, this comes against the backdrop of this week, the U.S. Forcing the closure of the Chinese consulate in Houston, and of course, the response of the American consulate in Chengdu being closed. So there's further political headwinds happening behind the scenes that might also impact some of these other issues. And in your survey, you talked about the major concerns that were about the national security law. Ambiguity in the scope was one of the big ones, as was independence from the judiciary. And one of the comments that I saw on your survey from one of your members was, this accelerates the shift of Hong Kong from an international business center into a mainland-focused business center. And as you are talking with folks like that, is Obviously, that is bad in one way, but perhaps it's an opportunity in another way, if that, in fact, does happen for Hong Kong. What's your read on that?
That is true, and I think this is something that people are trying to get their head around. Hong Kong is a very important financial services center for Hong Kong, for China. And let's say, for example, the U.S. stops allowing Chinese companies to list in the United States. First place that these types of listings would happen are back here in Hong Kong, and we have a huge IPO coming up of Ant Financial, which is a part of Alibaba. And people are expecting that there'll be a lot more listings here and some opportunities in terms of financial services. We've also seen China announce that they're going to further open their financial services sector, and that makes Hong Kong a good place for this type of activity. So people are looking at that as well. There's a whole reweighing of what Hong Kong will be like, what it's about, how it's going to work, and whether this is the right place to be for certain people. Some people may say, actually, this is a great opportunity, and this is what Hong Kong needs to be for the future. Some people might say, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't the Hong Kong that I came to. So there's a real re-rating going on. But just because times are difficult doesn't mean there aren't opportunities.
Talking with Tara Joseph, the president of the American Chamber of Commerce in Hong Kong, has there been, and I haven't seen it in any of the stories I've read, but I haven't seen any sort of a plan by the central government in Beijing stating that very fact that you were mentioning, like, we are trying to shift the focus of Hong Kong to become, a financial center for the mainland. Have you seen any sort of strategic plans or heard of any that have been announced by anyone in a credible position within the Chinese government relating to the future of Hong Kong?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Less formal announcements, but some actions. You know, we have Connect, which is connecting stock markets and the ability for people to invest in international stocks if they're based in mainland China to come through Hong Kong. So it's more the actions that we're seeing, and of course allowing state-owned enterprises to go public and to do that through Hong Kong. And also to use Hong Kong as a place where investment flows come out, and also a place where there's a lot of currency conversion. So I think it's more actions than words, and we've definitely seen that type of activity. And of course, it is an obvious issue for mainland China that it needs a financial center that's facing the world. It just, remember 5 years ago, 10 years ago, everyone thought, Shanghai will eclipse Hong Kong. That hasn't happened. And Hong Kong is obviously a good place for China to face the world.
You know, one of the things mentioned about the national security law was safety and security. And as you mentioned earlier, the government in Hong Kong said this is going to be good for business because it will give us some, you know, all it will do is put down the protesters and the people that have been disrupting street life in Hong Kong for the past year, basically since, I guess it was about June of last year. But in your survey, some 50% of people say that this law actually makes them feel less safe. Only 25% or so say that it makes them feel more safe. Where does that shift? I mean, some people are worried that the national security law could mean that foreigners would be potentially implicated in being arrested for saying something or doing something, you know, that was against the law. So is it true that, you know, this national security law is theoretically going to make Hong Kong a safer, better place for business? Or, again, we don't know yet.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of looking at it. And I've been very cheery so far in talking about the potential upsides for business. And, yeah, some people think, great, the streets are clear. But that doesn't mean the uncertainty and worry is clear.
Yeah.
People are worried about data security. Hong Kong is not a party to the cybersecurity law that China has. There's a free flow of information here. Will that be able to continue? People are worried even about what they say on WhatsApp and other places, self-censorship. All types of issues are coming up. And that's causing quite a stir. So maybe in physical, you won't see protests coming up and people will feel clear. But underneath the surface, there are worries. There's also worries of the prospect of extradition to the mainland because of the ambiguity of the law. And another step is there's worried about what's in this law about collusion with foreign forces. Anybody who's seen colluding with foreign forces could find themselves in trouble. And of course, that's scary to people.
Yeah, that's ominous, especially when there is no definition around much of that terminology. It's very much open to interpretation at the moment, right? Now, about almost half of your members said that they have no plans to leave, but there were some people that said, you know, in the medium to long run, yes, they will think about leaving, but no plans to leave in the short run. Kind of take us through what you felt or what you saw with that, because especially in Singapore and elsewhere around Southeast Asia, this is one of the questions, right? Are people going to be leaving Hong Kong en masse to come here or other countries around the region to find a safer place to live and work? What are you seeing with that mindset about leaving Hong Kong in your survey?
Yeah, well, I don't think we can oversimplify the idea of people picking up and leaving for a variety of reasons. Mm. The first is COVID has complicated everybody's life and changed everybody's plans and made it difficult to travel and make plans. That's the first obvious. The second is a lot of people have invested a lot of their lives in Hong Kong. I've lived here for 18 years. It's not uncommon to have business people from all over the world. Hong Kong, like Singapore, is a very international city, who've lived here for 10, 15, 20, 25 years.
Yeah.
They consider this home. So it's hard to think about picking up. The other aspect of things is that some companies based here have very large footprints. You don't just pick up and move. There's a lot around it. So people are going to take their time and see how things develop, because if there is opportunity, people would want to stay. Now, we've already also, though, to be fair, seen a trend of companies moving to Singapore in the last few years. McKinsey did a good survey showing the number of companies and talent that has picked up and gone. And now it's really incumbent upon the Hong Kong government to really lay out a compelling reason for companies to be here and make it important for companies to be here.
We don't know what we don't know yet. We'll have to wait and see on a lot of these issues. Thanks for your time today, and we certainly hope to have you on again.
Thanks for having me.
We've been speaking with Tara Joseph, president of the American Chamber of Commerce in Hong Kong.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.